This is Dr. Cassieri, pastor of Open Door Baptist Church in Wilmington, Massachusetts, and adjunct professor of Andersonville Baptist Seminary. And the course that we're going through right now, we're undertaking the study of the book of Zechariah. On our course outline, we're under lesson number 5, which covers chapter 3 of Zechariah, verses 1 through 10. Last time we began our study of lesson 5, and we're going to pick up under point number 3 under lesson 5, entitled Restore Israel Under the Figure of Messiah, the Branch. And of course, we're going to turn, if you would with me, to Zechariah chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And of course, in the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible, the word of God, branch, all the letters are capitalized. Verse 9 of Zechariah 3. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the gravings thereof, saith Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye carry every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. So, first of all, under Restored Israel Under the Figure of Messiah, the branch, we want to look at the branch. The branch. Is there any doubt as to the identity of the branch? Looking in Jeremiah chapter 23 with me, Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 5 and 6, Jeremiah chapter 23 verses 5 and 6. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, which is referring to the branch. And of course, the Lord of Righteousness is all in capital letters. And this quickly dispels who this is. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua the priest is being told that national conversion that he has just witnessed in type must come under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word branch must be a reference to the first coming. Look at it in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 with me. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And of course, the account here that we have in Matthew chapter 21 is what's often referred to as Palm Sunday, amen, where the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem upon an ass. And we see that branches were strewed out on the way, on the street there, amen. And of course, the branch was on that donkey, amen, riding down and going over the branches, amen. So there's no accidents with God, amen. Next, we want to see, under point number 3 of lesson 5, Restored Israel Under the figure of Messiah, the branch, is the stone. The stone. Now, again, we're in Zechariah chapter 3 with me. In Zechariah chapter 3, in verse 9. In verse 8, we saw the branch. Now, for behold, in verse 9, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. The stone must be the stone of Daniel chapter 2. If you'll turn to Daniel chapter 2 with me, we'll see this stone mentioned in Daniel chapter number 2. In Daniel chapter number 2, in verse number, first of all, 35, Daniel 2:35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, because like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So we see it was a stone that destroyed the image there. And then in verse 45 of Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And of course, this is all a reference. The stone is a prophetic reference to the second coming of Christ. Then we see the seven eyes. The seven eyes referred to back in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Seven eyes. The seven eyes can be cross-referenced to the following. Look at, first of all, at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Look at also in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. And lo, and behold, and beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Also we see in Revelations chapter 1, verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Again, we see the seven eyes. We see that seven keep popping up. Amen. And then in Revelations chapter 3 and verse number 1. Revelations 3, 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. The seven eyes speaks of infinite intelligence and omniscience, which the Lord Jesus Christ certainly has. Amen. Now, finally, to close out lesson number 5, we want to look at our last point under restored Israel under the figure of Messiah, the branch, the cleansing. The cleansing. We read again in Zechariah 3, verse 9 and following. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. We see that the iniquity will be removed in the land that day. God promises to personally remove the iniquity from the land. The filth with which Joshua was covered is removed forever. Look at with me, if you would, in Isaiah chapter number 4. Isaiah chapter number 4. In Isaiah chapter number 4, in verses 4 through 6. And of course, this is a reference in Isaiah that's referring to that coming day, the prophetic reference where the Lord's going to remove all filth and iniquity from the land. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud in smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Verse 6. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. So again, we have this prophetic reference here in Isaiah chapter 4, referring to the same thing that we just read in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This future cleansing of Israel. Amen. So now that closes out chapter 5, or lesson 5, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Now, we want to pick up with lesson number 6. Lesson number 6 with me, which will cover Zechariah chapter 4 in verses 1 through 14. So let's first begin by going to Zechariah 4, and we'll read down through the whole chapter, which is the 14 verses. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waken out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came upon me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me, and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Lesson number 6, we see, covers three main points. The presentation of the vision, the purpose of the vision, and then the promises of the vision. Chapter 4 falls in perfect chronological order with what we have read in the preceding scriptures. A vision of the future spiritual restoration of Israel, chapter 3, which we just read, is immediately followed by a demonstration of the result of that restoration. Israel will occupy the position of original attention for her by being God's witness to the nation. Let's look at some scripture regarding this. First, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43 with me. Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible says in verse 21 of Isaiah 43, This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So we see that God chose Israel for himself. And one of the purposes he chose Israel is to show forth his praise, to praise him, amen, to praise him before the other nations. Look it with me also in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, in verses 5 and 6, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. Now listen to this. In the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That's to be the testimony before the nations. The nations can tell that Israel is a wise and understanding people that God has chosen because of the wisdom and understanding that God has given Israel, and by their testimony of keeping the statutes and the judgments that God has given them. Look it with me also in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Sing unto the Lord. What a beautiful verse here. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. That's not certainly not happening today. But we have God's promise, his prophecy, that someday the whole earth will sing unto the Lord, will sing unto him, and show forth from day to day his salvation. And of course, again, this is all tied in with Israel. Because what God has done with Israel, amen, the whole earth is going to sing unto the Lord and to praise Him and give Him glory because of the testimony of Israel. Look at with me also in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 18 in particular, Psalm 18 and verse 49 of Psalm 18. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Again, a reference to Israel. God chose them to be His people, for them to give thanks to Him among the unsaved nations, to the heathen, and sing praises unto His name. Amen. Now, in the context, doctrinally, this is speaking about Israel, but certainly we could make a spiritual application to the Christian today, could we not? As Christians, we are to give thanks to God in everything among the heathen, among the unsaved, amen. And we should sing praises. That's one of the spiritual sacrifices of the priesthood of the believer, is to give God praise, to sing His praise, amen. To give Him thanks unto His name, amen. Look at Psalm also, Psalm chapter, Psalm 96 with me. And in verse number 3 of Psalm 96, Psalm 96, 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Again, doctrinally a reference to Israel, amen. That's why God chose them, for them to give glory to Him amongst the other nations, the heathen nations, amen, because of His wonders, amen. Again, as Christians, we're to do the same. We're to be in this world, but not of this world, amen. God chose Israel to be a witnessing people by verbal expression and holy lifestyle. But we see, so far, as to this date, their failure is well documented in the prophet Ezekiel. If you would turn there with me, Ezekiel chapter 5. This is why God chose them to be His witness and testimony, to live a holy lifestyle. But we read in Ezekiel chapter 5 and verses 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations in the countries that are around about her. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are around about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye multiplied more than the nations that are around about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are around about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgment in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. And of course, we see that Israel disobeyed God, because those promises, some of them were conditional, if they were obedient to Him, that He would bless them and provide for them and so forth and so on. But in some ways, He says here in a passage in Ezekiel, they were worse, more wicked than the heathen nations around them. And the reason for this is, to whom much is given, much is expected. They were given the oracles of God. They had more light than any other nation around them. They knew expressly what God wanted them to do and what wanted them not to do, and they disobeyed God. And that's why temporarily, right now, God has temporarily set aside Israel. But again, when the church is raptured out, amen, when the body of Christ is taken up to the third heaven, the tribulation begins, then God will begin to deal once again with his chosen people, the nation of Israel, during the tribulation, amen. And then after they go through that terrible time of tribulation, known as Jacob's trouble, they will be saved. There will be a remnant. They will be restored, amen. They will partake in of the millennial blessing, amen. And this earth will be theirs. But not right now, not in this time that we're living right now, but in a future time, amen. That was a bit of an introduction for lesson 6. Now we want to pick up with point number 1 under lesson 6 and look at the presentation of the vision. The presentation of the vision. Receiving a real vision from the Lord seems to be exhausting business. Not only did Zechariah appear to be worn out by this, but the same thing happened to Daniel. We see in Daniel chapter 10, we read in verses 7 through 9 about Daniel. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And we see a similar thing with Zechariah here in chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. So we see then visions, receiving a vision from the Lord seems to be an exhausting business. We saw it with Daniel and with Zechariah. Similar, candlesticks are mentioned in the reference to the tabernacle and temple. But one of the primary differences is the automatic, non-human operation of Zechariah's candlestick. This is a picture of divine intervention in the nation Israel. Now, we want to move on to point number 2 in our outline, in lesson 6, the purpose of the vision. The purpose of the vision. Look in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, and saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. God wanted Zechariah to know that in spite of the failures of Israel, a day was coming when they would be a shining light to the nations. And we see in Matthew chapter 5, and of course we know that the Sermon of the Mount is in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is the basic constitution to the millennial kingdom, amen. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And I know oftentimes we'll use this to refer to Christians, and spiritually that's okay, we can do that. We're to be the light of the world, amen, in this dark and sinful world. But also here, doctrinally, we apply it to the nation of Israel, that they are going to be a light to the world, a light amongst all the heathen Gentile nations, amen. They're going to be a witness and testimony for the Lord. God has always wanted to use Israel as a mouthpiece to voice his message to the world. Look at it in Romans chapter 3 with me. Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. God gave Israel a great responsibility. He gave them the word of God, amen, the oracles of God, to use that, not only for themselves, amen, but also to be a mouthpiece, to be God's messenger, amen, to the rest of the world. Chapter 9 of Romans, in verses 4 and 5, who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, in the glory, in the covenants, in the giving of the law, in the service of God, in the promises? Who are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever? Amen. We see here, again, the special privileges given to Israel. Amen. The covenants. Amen. The glory of God right there dwelling in the tabernacle. Amen. The presence of Almighty God in the Holy of Holies. The giving of the law. The service of God and all the promises. God, Israel was given a great responsibility. But unfortunately, they did not use it as God intended it to be used. Amen. Instead, they rebelled against God. Their testimony was ruined. They went into idolatry and broke all of God's commandments. Amen. Their light will always be under a bushel until the light flows through Jesus Christ. We read in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke with me, if you would, in verse number 1, in verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And of course, the day spring is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he truly had visited his people as God manifested the flesh there. Of course, here in chapter 1 of Luke, we have the birth of the Lord. Amen. God manifests in the flesh. And he did visit them. The light of the world did come into this world, into this dark world. Then we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, a light, talking about Jesus, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. It's a sad fact that they didn't recognize who he was. He came unto his own, and his own knew him not, amen. He was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. He was to glorify, come in, to be a light to the Gentiles who were in darkness. And he was to be the glory of Israel. Amen. But we saw what happened. He was rejected. We see Israel rejected the ministry of God the Father in the Old Testament. Then we see that the nation of Israel rejected the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was God manifest in the flesh, when he walked on this earth. And then we see early on in the book of Acts, in the early chapters, God gives them one more chance through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and they reject that. So they rejected God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He slams the door on them for a time, and he turns to the Gentiles, as we're into the time of the Gentiles right now. And then we see in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse number 12. John 8, 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, they were to reflect. The nation of Israel was to reflect the light of the world, the Messiah. Amen. So the rest of the world wouldn't walk in darkness. But they didn't. They failed. Through double application, the prophet is being alerted to these promises. Since Israel has been presently set aside, the church now occupies the position of sending the light, being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Look it with me in Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter number 1. Revelations chapter 1. We read in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The church is to be right now that golden candlestick, and Christ is to shine through them. And the light is to be sent through the church right now. Looking in Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 8. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church, the believers at Ephesus, and he writes in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As Christians, we're to walk as children of light. We're to bring the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this lost and dying world that's in darkness. Are you doing it? We're supposed to be doing it. We have that responsibility collectively and individually as Christians, as individual members of the body of Christ. Then we see in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. For right now, originally that responsibility was given to the nation of Israel. But they rejected their responsibility. They disobeyed God. And now, because God has temporarily set aside Israel, now we've gotten in on the blessing. Amen. We have a great responsibility. Amen. As Christians, we're to be ambassadors for Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation to help others to make peace with Almighty God through their Son, through His Son, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the world. the light of the world. Amen. Next, we want to look at the promises of the vision. The promises of the vision as found in Zechariah chapter number 4 and verses 6 through 10. First of all, we see in verse 6 of Zechariah 4, the first promise, the temple will be completed by divine power. Zechariah 4:6. And then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel was faced with a difficult task of rebuilding a temple in a time when a people had just come out of captivity. This history foreshadows something still to take place in the future. On both occasions, it will be the only the power of God that will get the task completed. Amen. Next, we see the second promise of the vision found in the first part of verse 7 of Zechariah 4, which is, every obstacle to the work shall be removed. Verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou wilt become a plain. Mountains have long stood for difficulties. We see, for example, God using the example of a mountain as to stand for or symbolize difficulties in Matthew 7, the Gospel of Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. He says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. In this case, here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7, the mountain could be a reference to Babylon. Look, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 51 with me. Jeremiah chapter 51. In Jeremiah chapter 51, we read the following in Jeremiah 51, verse 25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain. And of course, this is a reference to possibly Babylon here. Also, it seems certain that Zerubbabel is a type of Christ. Look in Isaiah chapter 40 with me. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, 4:0. In verses 4 and 5, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And of course, that's what possibly Zerubbabel is, a picture, a type of Christ, and what's going to happen in the future. Amen. When he returns, amen, and hits the top of Mount Zion, the Mount of Olives with both his feet, amen, and the mountain's going to cleave to the left and the right, amen. So we see then, so far as we're in lesson number 6, we see the promises of the vision so far. The temple will be completed by divine power. Every obstacle to the work will be removed. Now, we have a couple of more promises of the vision that we're going to look at next time when we pick up our study in lesson number 6. And of course, that will be the temple will be successfully and joyfully completed, and God's wisdom and care will be magnified. And then, of course, we have the last point under lesson number 6, the personalities of the vision, in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. And of course, we'll deal with all of this, and we'll conclude lesson 6 when we pick up our study again.